gunman after he tried to leave the scene in his vehicle. They helped direct police to his location. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton says,
"And my guess is this guy chose this community because he didn't think there would be first responders there very quickly. And thank God that we had these two guys that were there with the weapons to move this guy at least out of the church more quickly."
Paxton spoke on MSNBC.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
How will the recent massive data breach affect you? Is your personal information at risk? If you are a Discover credit card member, there's an important action you can take to help protect yourself right now. Go online and sign up for Discover's free Social Security alerts. Once activated, we will alert you if your Social Security number is found on any one of thousands of risky websites. Learn more and sign up for free alerts at discover.com/freealerts. Limitations apply.
The pastor of a South Texas church says he's leaning on God after 26 of his parishioners, including his daughter, were shot yesterday. Pastor Frank Pomeroy and his wife were out of town at the time of the shooting.
As special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation into the Russian interference into the 2016 election continues, Speaker of the House Paul Ryan was asked on Fox News Sunday if this investigation will be stopped by the GOP on the Hill.
We need to let these career professionals do their jobs, see it through. No, I don't think he should be stepping down. I don't think he should be fired. And the president's made it clear he's not going to do that. So, no, we're not going to interfere with this investigation. The investigation will take its course, and we will let it take its course. We're also doing our own investigations here in the House, and the Senate has one as well, into Russia and into Russia's meddling in our campaign.
As the president continues his trip overseas, he's receiving praise from Democratic Representative Ami Bera. Congressman Bera says the president is handling himself well, and he gives credit where credit is due.
I'm not used to praising President Trump, but kudos to him for starting the trip off in Japan and Korea. It's important to show our allies that we stand with them.
And the congressman continued to praise President Trump.
I guess I'm going to praise President Trump a second time. You know, he pushed for the Japanese to build their cars in America. And when I met with the prime minister, met with business leaders, they are trying to do that. So let's continue to push that investment in America.
Bera made his comments during an appearance on MSNBC. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
And we're live in the studio today. I'm your host, Georgine Trinkle. We're at Hot and Hunter, and it is November 6th, the eve, election eve. We're going to be talking a little bit about elections, voting, and what some of the public questions are, along with some local Hunterdon County election information, because we want to encourage people to get out and vote. Our quote of the day today is this: every election is determined by the people who show up. And that is true today and in the past presidential election that we had last year, when the polls were so wrong. So you can make a difference, and those who win are because of the voters that show up. So that's a really important point, and we hope we're going to make it easy for people in Hunterdon County, at least, and in New Jersey, to know what's on the ballot, and if you're a registered voter, to go out and vote. We do have some commercials we have to do today, and of course, at 3 o'clock today, your ability for early voting has ended. That was up until 3 p.m. today. The county clerk's office did a wonderful job of getting information out about registering for voting before the deadline had passed, and then they did a great push to get people to do some early voting, because you may not have done an absentee ballot, but you can still, for sure, up until 3 o'clock today, have the ability to cast your vote without going to the polls tomorrow. So hopefully they had a great turnout, and our numbers will be very good for the election. A lot of people coming out and to be a voice. So we have the chamber, the voice of business, and hopefully our Hunterdon listeners here at Hot and Hunterdon will be the voice of the voters and will get out to the polls. So that's our show for today, our topics and what we're going to be doing. Do some commercials, and then we'll be back here in the studio. Stay with us.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
We're back in the studio to give you the weather forecast. And weird, could weird be our weather forecast? Because if it can be, that is certainly what it should be. The weather when I walked out of my house this morning, which is around 7:30, I had a sleeveless shirt on and a summer sweater. And when I walked out to come here, which was around 3:15 or so, I needed a winter jacket, and it was pouring rain. It felt like sleet. Even though it was still 60 degrees, it really was a cold. It was the November rain for sure. So what our forecast is for today, we're looking at some showers. The high of the day, which was 68, we've already seen that. So you can wave goodbye to that because that's long over. I have a nice warm comfy jacket on here in the studio, and it is about 60 degrees outside. We're going to have some showers throughout the day today with a 60% chance of precipitation. And it's odd, too. There were at times I was looking out my window at work, and I thought I really should leave and go for a run while it's sunny out. And then I would turn my head again, and I would see these gloomy clouds, which is what we're looking at right now. Tomorrow's a little bit better, but the high is only 50. And we have a mostly sunny day with a no rain, really, tomorrow. So that's a good thing. On election day, maybe after 3, we'll have a little bit of rain. Otherwise, we have the high near 50. Tuesday night, we have another slight chance of rain, but it's only 20%. And the rest of the week, we have partly sunny skies on Wednesday with a high near 52. We are having some cold evenings. Wednesday evening, we have a low around 36. Thursday, partly sunny with a high near 54. It's not beach weather, but at least it's not rain. And Thursday evening, we have a low around 37. It's not too bad. We're not looking at any days over 50 the rest of this week. So we might get near 51 on Sunday. That's about our high after today. So I do hope that you enjoyed the warm weather, even with the chilly rain that rains on our parade. Can we do that? Sure, why not? No one's in the studio with me here today. So that's our weather. At least there is no S word in our forecast. That keeps us happy. We're going to do a commercial, and then we'll be back here in the studio.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
And we're back here in the studio. I think we have to do a song about the rain. I don't think I have November rain here, which would be a perfect song for today. So we're going to have to go with something else. We'll be back.
She woke up fighting mad, bitching and moaning on and on about the time I had. And by Tuesday, you could say, then I won $100 on a scratch-off ticket, bought 2 12-packs and a tank of gas with it. She swore they were a waste of time, all, but she was wrong. I was caller number 5 on the radio station, won a 4-day, 3-night beach vacation, deep-sea senorita fishing down in Panama. See my ex-future mother-in-law anymore. Oh, Lord, when it rains, it pours.
death of me was my saving grace. It's got me thinking that her leaving is the only logical reason that I got the last spot in the Hooters parking lot, and the waitress left her number on my check with a heart. She picked up on the first ring when I gave her a call, and I only spent $5 at the Moose Club raffle, what a used four-wheeler and three free passes for me and two of my buddies to play around a golf. And I ain't gotta see my ex-future mother-in-law anymore. Oh Lord, when it rains it pours, when it rains it pours. I've been on one hell of a redneck road for 3 weeks now, and it all started on the day that she walked out. Then I won $100 on a scratch-off ticket, bought 2 12-packs and a tank of gas with it. She swore they were a waste of time all, but she was wrong. And I was calling number 5 on the radio station, want a 4-day, 3-night beach vacation. Deep-sea senorita fishing down in Panama. And I ain't gotta see my ex-future mother-in-law anymore. Oh, Lord, when it rains, it pours.
And hopefully the rain is done for our day here at Hot and Hunterdon on November 6th. And we wanted to talk about the election because, first of all, not everyone has the right to vote. So we want to make sure that people understand that that is certainly a right and they should exercise it. We can talk about different groups that didn't have the right to vote, and certainly always the 19th Amendment, one of my favorite amendments that allowed for women the right to vote. So that's an important amendment. And the women's suffrage movement, certainly in the United States, has some, you know, spans from the mid-1800s until finally in 1920 when the amendment was passed and became part of the U.S. Constitution. So it is something important and something we want to make sure that everyone who is legally registered to vote knows what's going on, who to vote, who the candidacies might have, how their hot topics might be on the different issues, and who's running, and what are those questions on the bottom of the ballots that are always out there and always need an interpretation? Who puts those out, and are they items that matter? I know when I was looking for a quote for today, I ran across another quote from a past president who said that often people vote for what they don't want. So the elected person is just a representative of something that is less negative than the opponent. So I'm not sure if we should subscribe to that, but it is an interesting theory for certain. So in Hunterdon County, according to the New Jersey election 2017, the coverage that was on newjersey.com and was updated just within the last day or two, it indicates that there are a 3-year seat that's open for Freeholder, and it looks like there's 3 people that are running, a Republican, a Democrat, and a Libertarian. In Holland Township, there's 1 2-year unexpired seat that is available. In Alexandria Township, there is 1 3-year seat, and it looks like there's 5 members voting for that. In Frenchtown, we have 1 3-year seat open, and it does look like we just have 1 person that's voting for that, that's running for that. So we're going to definitely take a look at that and see if that's been updated. So much information to cover on the elections, because it's not only local elections and our referendum questions that are important, but it's also a race for the governor's office. So as we've all been enduring the commercials since early days of spring, really, since the primaries were over and we ended up with two main candidates. And unfortunately, the news and media outlets don't really cover some of the other candidates. So we're going to check out what's going on with the governor's race as well and see what is going on that we can participate in, because it is really important to exercise your right to vote. And you want to know what you're doing in the booth, right? The electronic booths, you have to be in and out of there pretty quickly. So we want to know what questions there are and have our answer in mind before we get to the polls, so we don't tie up the lines too long. And those are generally volunteers that are at the Board of Elections and are at the voting polls and are there all day. Sometimes they do, you know, 12-hour shifts, and people come to vote and it's not always registered, and sometimes a lot of things that are going on while we're trying to vote. So you don't want to hold up the election voting at all and want to know what you're going to do. So let's just see here if there are any others. So we have Hunterdon and Central Regional High School Board has some open seats. North Hunterdon, Voorhees High School Board, has some open seats, as does South Hunterdon Regional District School Board. So those elections will be coming on. Bethlehem Township Committee, there's 2 3-year seats, and there's three people running. The Democrat had no nomination on that. We have a 1-year unexpired term on the Bethlehem Township School Board. Bloomsbury Borough Council, along with the school board. We have some borough council and school board in Califon. The town of Clinton, we have 2 3-year seats that are open and 4 people running, both from the major parties, Republican and Democrat. 2 of the incumbents are running for those 2 3-year seats. Glenn Gardner, we're looking for a school board. The Clinton Township Mayor is 1 3-year term, and there's an incumbent running, and the Democratic Party didn't have a nomination, which is pretty common in Hunterdon County, but uncommon in other parts of the area. Clinton Township Council, there is 1-year unexpired term, and the Republicans had no nomination, but the Democratic Party did. So that is a little unusual. And then some of your townships have their own questions. So you may have gotten your voter sample. You want to make sure that you read that, because you may have a specific local question. And then in Highbridge, there are ballot questions also, like Clinton Township, Holland Township Committee. We have 2 3-year seats, and there are 4 people running for it. And the school board, there's 3 seats, and there are 4 openings, or 4 people running and 3 seats. So we've had some guests here that have held different positions that are elected positions. So it's always interesting to know. Sometimes we don't hear about the smaller towns and townships with people running. And there are some important local issues we're going to be talking about in South Hunterdon County as well. But, you know, I have to do a commercial, and I'm a little late on that. So I'm going to get to that, and then we'll be back here in the studio.
This is Chamber President Chris Phelan inviting you to the 29th Annual Business and Home Expo with our Restaurant Showcase. This wonderful event will happen on Thursday, November 9th at our new location, Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington, from 2 to 7 p.m. If you're a business or organization and would like to participate, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at hunterdonchamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Pat and Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Now we're back here in the studio. I'm your host, Georgine Trinkle. We're at Hot in Hunterdon today on November 6th, Election Eve. And we're talking about some of the local elections that are going on, Township Committee and Board of Ed, and some local questions. And I did want to cover one local question. So if you live in West Amwell, Township residents are being asked in November if they want the Township Committee to contract with an outside agency to provide police services. So there's a lot of information that went back and forth on this because some people interpreted that as a merger, and people, I think, were unclear about what it really meant. So what it means is if enough voters say yes to that non-binding referendum question in the general election, it means that the police department for West Amwell could be disbanded and police services would be provided by another department. So it's not a merger, but it would be a contract. So it would allow the township to solicit bids from other communities, and if there was a significant cost savings, I guess they would still have to have a vote, but they could pursue that and disband their police department and enter into a contracted agreement with another police department that would take over the public safety of the community. Right now, the police department consists of 11 people. There's 6 officers, an administrator, a captain, sergeant, detective sergeant, and a corporal. So for 11 people, they have 4, well, I guess the administrator, we don't know if the administrator is a law enforcement sworn officer or if they are a public safety director. So we know that there's only 4, or there are 4 command staff that we know of. I'm not certain about the administrator. It doesn't really list what their duties are. So this would create a change. I did read that about 1/3 of the municipal budget is to support the cost of the police department. So that it looks like that should be a very important question if you live in that area. That could change things for your township. So you definitely want to go out and vote the way you think would be best. It looks like the budget state aid has dropped for that township from 44% in the municipal budget in 2009 to 25%. So they've lost about over a half million dollars. So it would be interesting to know why they've been losing so much state aid, if that is just simply because of the cap or if there's other things at play. It really doesn't go into detail on the NewJersey.com article that's been covering this. So we're not really sure about that, but it is a local issue. And it seems like if you live locally, you would definitely want to cast a vote for the township to be able to pursue a contracted service agreement and possibly disband the police department. I'm not sure why they didn't go for a merger or merger talks stalled, or They just simply don't want the responsibility of having a police department, which is interesting. And in Hunterdon County, the state police patrol areas. So it's always curious to me to live in an area that is patrolled by the state police. And so I'm saving on my taxes there. And I don't know what stops other municipal police departments from just letting the state police end up having a cost savings. And I don't think the state police are in the habit of contracting or submitting RFPs for other townships. So it'll be interesting. We'll have to check in with West Amwell residents and see how that is going and how that ends up for the township. But that is their ballot question. The way the ballot question is written is exactly like this. Should the township committee pursue a contract with neighboring municipalities to provide police services to the township? So I hope everyone does understand it. I was on some social media sites preparing for this show, and a lot of people were still thinking that it was a merger. So definitely something to look into. We're going to do a little bit of music today, and then we'll be back to talk about the questions that are on the ballot and to try to understand them a little bit more. So I hope that we can get to that next. Stay with us.
Hello, it's me. I was wondering if after all these years you'd like to meet to go over everything. They say the time's supposed to heal ya, but I ain't done much healing. Hello, can you hear me? I'm in California dreaming about who we used to be when we were younger and free. I've forgotten how it felt before the world fell at our feet. There's such a difference between us and a million miles. Hello from the other side. I must have called. Talk about myself, I'm sorry. I hope that you will. Did you ever make it out of that town where nothing ever happened? It's no secret that the both of us are running out of time. So hello from to be
Here in the studio, and I did find a nice article by Mike Deek on the public question we were just discussing before our music interlude here about the rural question about the police department. So it does say that on Tuesday, which is obviously tomorrow because we're at election eve over here, that the West Amwell question, the township committee voted to include the question on the ballot because of the continued loss of state aid. It's put in, you know, some difficulties on the municipal finances, and it states that the township would research police service alternatives, including a contract with the state police. So I think that might be a question for the next governor, because it seems unfair to me that some townships, and I do live in one, as I mentioned earlier, where my taxes aren't for police services because it is a state police service, there's going to have to be a formula at some point where the state police, if they're providing these services, there's some type of equitable distribution of the cost of these services. So they could potentially contract with the state police. I was not aware that the state police did contract for services. So it looks like they're looking at Lambertville or Delaware Township. The West Amwell Township had tried a merger or talks of a merger with the Lambertville Police Department. And that was in 2010. It looks like they haven't really done any discussions or talks or have anything that was on the ballot as a referendum prior to tomorrow's referendum. If it fails, then the committee would have to raise taxes about $300 to $400 per average home over several years. So that doesn't seem like a significant amount of money to me. Maybe voters feel differently, and they should definitely vote if that is how they feel. They opponents say keeping the police department is worth the extra money, and they say the annual cost of maintaining the police department is about $425 on the average tax bill of $9,105. So that doesn't seem too bad to me. So that is just to clarify that they could contract with the state police. Okay, so now back to our questions, our other ballot questions. So those are some very specific questions for towns and townships. I mentioned Highbridge had a question, you know, and certainly West Amwell we've covered. But there are some other questions, and they are curious, right? So the first question for New Jersey is the bond for the public libraries measure. This is question one. And it is a legislatively referred bond question. A yes vote supports authorizing the state to issue $125 million in bonds to provide grants to public libraries. And a no vote opposes authorizing the state to issue $125 million in bonds to provide grants to public libraries. So the state librarian, with approval of the president of Thomas Edison State University, would develop the eligibility criteria for libraries to receive grants. Grants would cover 50% of the cost of projects. The other 50% would be provided by a library's local government. Private donors would be allowed to contribute towards the 50% provided by a local government. So the proposed ballot title is, do you approve the New Jersey Library Construction Bond Act? This bond act authorizes the state to issue bonds in the aggregate principal amount of $125 million. The proceeds of the bonds will be used to provide grants to public libraries. The grants will be used to build, equip, and expand public libraries to increase capacity and serve the public. So that is $125 million. I wish that the grant funds and the use of these bonds were more clearly developed prior to the election. But the Ballotpedia, which is this pretty interesting website, they actually did readability scores of the questions, and that was pretty interesting that they were able to determine if they were clear language or not. So it does list also the legislators that sponsored the bond measure in the legislative office. So they're all listed for you. And they do list an argument from the mayor of Bridgeton. In 2017, we're quoting Mayor Kelly, Al Kelly, of Bridgeton, New Jersey, and his argument is that in 2017, it's easy to think of libraries as dinosaurs, relics from another era, largely irrelevant in today's internet-driven, Amazon-loving, smartphone-using, ride-sharing world. But libraries were always part of democratizing knowledge and education, just as public schools are. Today, there is a digital inequality, and the local library is part of leveling the playing field. Libraries are community anchors while also connecting each community to the world at large. So that is a very well-stated argument to support the bond and referendum measure. And certainly, it never materialized, but as there were discussions about having an internet cost for low-income housing authorities and residents of low-income housing authorities, so that all individuals had access to the internet. Unfortunately, that really didn't happen. So we do know that the libraries, especially in low-income towns, are very busy, especially children using them after school where they don't have computers and internet at home. So hopefully you'll consider that first question. We'll be back to talk more about that, but we do have to do a news break. And unfortunately, with the mass shooting yesterday in Texas, we certainly don't want to miss that and want to get the updates that we can. So please stay tuned for the news.
I will never forget those shots. That noise is not... I've been raised around guns all my life. I will never forget how that sounded.
Sutherland Springs, Texas resident Kathy Kernow describing this scene and what she heard outside that church where a gunman killed 26 people. Kernow also discusses how this is going to have a long-lasting impact on many of the families.
I know a lot of people, and a lot of people by association. Many of them were friends of my niece, who also went to church there many years ago. And this is two and three generations of two or three families are not with us anymore.
House Republicans are starting to pick through the new tax cut bill. During the opening hearings today, the chief architect of the bill, Texas Republican Kevin Brady, called it an historic bill that will bring long-lasting tax relief to millions of Americans. You are listening to USA Radio News. My name is Tim Berg.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn for ProstateVideo.com. I've made many appearances on TV with Larry King. He's a well-known liberal. I'm a well-known conservative. We can't stand each other's political views, but there's one thing we both passionately agree on. We're both guys over 50, and we both know that 70% or more of guys over 50 will have prostate problems, whether they know it or not. That's why there are dozens of pills to aid with prostate problems. Millions of bottles sold each year, billions of dollars spent, but very few of them work. Most of these pills are missing one key ingredient, so millions of men over 50 are wasting their money. Not anymore. Watch Larry King's free video with his exclusive special report on why so many men are wasting their money and doing nothing for their prostate problems. Larry has experienced the remarkable solution. It's called Prostagenix. It was developed by my great friend, former Stanford quarterback Fred Buckley. Prostagenix is the only supplement that actually works for many men with prostate problems. Go to prostatevideo.com. That's prostatevideo.com. Guys, take it from me and Larry King. It can change your life. Prostatevideo.com.
Former Congressman Anthony Weiner surrendered himself to prison authorities today in Massachusetts. The disgraced New York Democrat was sentenced to 21 months in prison for sending sexually explicit messages to a 15-year-old girl.
Former DNC chairwoman Donna Brazile has a new book that comes out Tuesday, which basically says Hillary Clinton ran the DNC and tilted the primary in her favor. The governor of Virginia, Terry McAuliffe, says the timing on this is rather curious.
I don't know the specifics of the actual agreement. It's regrettable that Donna thought this was the time she should come out with this complaint.
McAuliffe also talks about what people really should be focusing on.
I wish all of these folks who were talking about this would focus. We have a big election on Tuesday. This will be a repudiation of Trump. This will be a continuation of great progressive policies. I mean, look at where we are in Virginia today. We had a big primary. Tom Perriello, who ran against Ralph Northam, is campaigning his heart out. We are unified in Virginia.
Folks in Virginia head to the polls on Tuesday. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Get the best night's sleep of your life with a MyPillow. Go to MyPillow.com, enter promo code USA, and you'll get 50% off two MyPillow premium pillows and two Go Anywhere pillows. MyPillow.com, promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175. 100% machine washable, 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. How can you lose? Go to MyPillow.com, promo code USA.
Former Trump campaign chief Paul Manafort and associate Rick Gates are still under house arrest. A judge earlier today kept that order in place during a status hearing. Special counsel Robert Mueller recently indicted the two men on a variety of charges, including conspiracy and money laundering, both of which took place before the 2016 presidential election.
The deadly mass shooting at a small Texas church has people wondering, what can they do if they would be facing the same situation? People just outside San Diego are doing what they can to prepare for an active shooter. Jason Campidonia has the details.
The MMA Academy in Sorrento Valley is teaching people how to defend themselves during an active shooter situation. Instructors taught dozens of people Sunday how to disarm a shooter in close quarters on the same day that a shooter killed at least 26 people inside a Texas church. The instructors say the training is needed now more than ever and say people need defensive tools so they don't live in fear.
A legendary sports broadcaster says he's fed up with the NFL. USA Radio's Chris Barnes has the story.
Recently retired longtime L.A. Dodgers broadcaster Vin Scully says he used to love watching NFL games on Sundays, but the recent player protests are very disappointing to him. Scully spent a year in the Navy, and he says he doesn't want to preach about players taking a knee during the national anthem, so he'll simply turn off the TV. Scully made the remarks over the weekend while speaking in Pasadena, saying he has the utmost respect for those who fight for this country.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
And we're back here in the studio at Hot and Hotter, and I just want to make sure I do another opposing argument to the first question on the library bond, and I have that ready now. So we first heard why it should be a yes vote to help the library continue so that the entire community can connect to the world, especially those that are low income and may not have the same access to the internet. And then the opposition argument is from two Republicans that have stated that they voted against referring the measure, said it would hurt generations of citizens by spending and borrowing recklessly on a misguided idea. So they say that the public libraries are the best funded in the nation in New Jersey, and the top five states in per capita expenditures for library. The per capita library expenditure is about double those of the neighboring states, such as Pennsylvania and Delaware. And the bills call for $120 million in borrowing for library capital projects comes even as a Pew Research Center survey from 2015 shows that fewer Americans are visiting libraries in this advancing digital age. Such a trend raises real questions about whether a new capital program for libraries is warranted. So that is the opposition. So we want to be fair on this show and make sure that we give opinions on both sides of the aisle here so people know and can do a little of your own research and see what and how you will vote for your conscience. And hopefully, we just want people to vote. That's the most important thing, is to be able to exercise your right to vote. So that is what we have going on for questions. We're going to look at some of the other questions. So we have the library question, and I believe there's others, so we're going to get to that in just a moment. And then, of course, we have not discussed the big part of the election, right? The governor's race. So I do have a little information on both candidates that we'll be able to go through quickly and just give you a sense of each candidate, where they stand. And this is coming from New Jersey Elections, everything you need to know about governor candidates. So hopefully these are bipartisan information gathering, certainly should be, and we'll get to that for certain. But you know, we have to pay the bills around here. So let's do our commercials and then we'll be back.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
We're back in the studio here, just going over what the questions are. And we covered the first ballot question. That's a statewide question. The second question is a little bit different. And at first, when I printed the information, I thought maybe I have a lot of computer and electronic issues. I thought my computer and printer went crazy and I got the wrong information. But it's whether to amend the state constitution to dedicate all monies collected by the state for natural resource that were collected as reparation for natural resource destruction or contamination to be used only to repair, restore, replace, or preserve the state's natural resources. When New Jersey settled for $225 million in damages from Exxon, the governor apparently used that for general purposes in the budget. Lawyers and legislators reacted to that the lawsuit against Exxon was for $8.9 billion, so having less money was unfair to the citizens. Another senator who lives near the refineries in Elizabeth, where the largest amount of contamination occurred, said it was to be used for restoration there. And environmental groups disagreed, saying that it was, and I guess they made several attempts to prevent government from spending money for anything other than remediation. And I don't think that has been settled yet. But the legislature went one step further, proposing the Constitution be amended to prevent what some called misuse in the future. So the Exxon money, I guess it's too late, but the question will tell you to amend the Constitution. And you know what I'm remembering? I'm remembering the tobacco company settlement, and it was supposed to be used for prevention money, and it did at first, and then all of those programs went away. So those are the questions. I thought there were three questions. And if there is a third, I'll certainly find it and post it on our Facebook page. So I did think that we had three questions, but we want to get to the governor information. So the governor's race is coming up tomorrow, and we have all been inundated with information about it. But now we have two candidates for governor from major parties, and there are other choices that aren't really discussed very often or well. We're certainly going to put some information on our website so people know that they do have some other choices. The two main parties, we have a Republican and a Democrat running for governor. We have a top platform for Kim Guadagno, and she wants property taxes to be her number one priority, to lower property taxes. She has proposed a property tax circuit breaker that would provide relief to middle-class homeowners, capping the school portion of property tax bill at 5% of a household's income with a maximum limit of $3,000 in savings. The plan has been criticized because it relies on $1.5 billion in savings and revenue growth at a time when the state is struggling to meet modest revenue projections. I'm not sure if they're modest, but I know the state has not been able to meet some of the proposed revenue. So we have that. She opposes all tax increases, has promised that if elected, will not run for a second term if she does not lower property taxes. She favors restructuring the school funding formula. The extra money going to overfunded school districts should be redirected to property tax relief, which would prompt a legal challenge. Which she is encouraging because it would require a full fleshed out record so political leaders can find out what the facts are. She favors decriminalizing marijuana but is opposed to legalizing it for recreational use. Climate change, she's not a climate denier, she claims, and as a resident of the Jersey Shore, she said that she strongly believes we must protect our environment by leading on things like renewable energy. For health care, she views the Affordable Care Act as a disaster, but does not believe the roughly 500,000 people in New Jersey who benefit from the health law should lose coverage. And she's asking, if she were elected for Congress, to pass a plan to ensure people can get their health care, cover pre-existing conditions, and lower costs for consumers. She's against single-payer health care because she said it will lead to dramatic tax increases, reduce the quality of life, and force New Jersey doctors out of business. So that's how she stands. We're going to do the person from the major party that's running against her, and we're going to get to that in just 1 minute. So enjoy this song from Brooke Eden, and we'll be back.
We can't take all these ups and downs, this back and forth. Oh, space is what we need, so I boxed up your things, put them on your porch. The nights they hurt like hell, I know just how you feel. But when I hear from you, it's like salt in the wound, and I need to heal. So when you wanna have a late night drive, I like you don't. Let's play a little game and pretend like you don't know where I'll go on the weekends. When you wanna show up with your friends, act like you don't, like you don't. I know we both get lonely, but if you ever loved me, and you still do, I need you to act like you don't. Pretend you don't. I smell a stranger wearing your cologne. It's like poison to me. I can't breathe, but I don't wanna go home alone. Your memory is haunting me. Yeah, we try real hard, but we're better apart. We're not what we need. So when you wanna have a late night drive by and don't dial my phone around midnight, say you miss me waking up by like you don't, like you don't. Let's play a little game and pretend like
Like you don't know where I'll go on the weekends. When you wanna show up with your friends, act like you don't, like you don't. I know we both get lonely.
Okay, I want to make sure I give equal time to our candidates that are running for governor from the main party. We'll be putting information about the other candidates that you certainly can vote for and some of their supports and things that they oppose as well. So on the Democratic candidate, Phil Murphy, where he stands on taxes, he has said that everything's on the table but has committed to raising taxes on high-income earners and taxing the sale of marijuana if it is legalized. He's also said he's open to considering a special tax dedicated to New Jersey transit. And he also was quoted as saying that he plans to raise $1.3 billion a year in new revenue from taxes. Where he stands on school funding, and as you can see, I'm being very fair. I'm going through the top topics here and giving you each of the major parties' stand on that. So school funding for Phil Murphy, fully fund the formula established under Democratic Governor John Corzine. Marijuana legalized for recreational use with sales tax by state. Climate change. He has proposed a plan for New Jersey to transition to 100% clean energy by 2015. Like Gudano, he would also rejoin the regional greenhouse gas initiative. And I got that from NewJersey.com, NorthJersey.com. And healthcare, he has said that all options are on the table, including a consideration of a Medicare for All system in New Jersey. So those are the thoughts of the candidates. I want to encourage everyone to go out to vote. We will put the polling places on our website. And I'm not sure what week, but I know we'll have Mike Mazzo back in the studio because we want to cover some veteran services programs and some of the people that were in this service that make sure that they give back to the community and the ways that we can all help to support our veterans and our military personnel, which is a very important thing in our society, and especially in Hunterdon where we have Veterans Haven North. So thanks for staying with us in this hour so we could talk about some of the choices that we have. And as a reminder, we all don't have the ability to vote. So let's make sure if we have the right to vote that we exercise it in whatever way we need to. And please look at those questions so you're not holding up the line at the voting polls tomorrow. Everyone have an outstanding Monday afternoon and enjoy the warm weather before that cold comes. Brr, and then we're talking about S again in the studio. Have a great day.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
I will never forget those shots. That noise is not... I've been raised around guns all my life. I will never forget how that sounded.
Sutherland Springs, Texas resident Kathy Kernow describing this scene and what she heard outside that church where a gunman killed 26 people. Kernow also discusses how this is going to have a long-lasting impact on many of the families.
I know a lot of people, and a lot of people by association. Many of them were friends of my niece who also went to church there many years ago. And this is two and three generations of two or three families are not with us anymore.
House Republicans are starting to pick through the new tax cut bill. During the opening hearings today, the chief architect of the bill, Texas Republican Kevin Brady, called it an historic bill that will bring long-lasting tax relief to millions of Americans. You are listening to USA Radio News. My name is Tim Berg.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root for ProstateVideo.com. I've made many appearances on TV with Larry King.
He's a well-known liberal. I'm a well-known conservative. We can't stand each other's political views, but there's one thing we both passionately agree on. We're both guys over 50, and we both know that 70% or more of guys over 50 will have prostate problems, whether they know it or not. That's why there are dozens of pills to aid with prostate problems. Millions of bottles sold each year, billions of dollars spent, but very few of them work. Most of these pills are missing one key ingredient, so millions of men over 50 are wasting their money. Not anymore. Watch Larry King's free video with his exclusive special report on why so many men are wasting their money and doing nothing for their prostate problems. Larry has experienced the remarkable solution. It's called Prostagenics. It was developed by my great friend, former Stanford quarterback Fred Buckley. Prostagenics is the only supplement that actually works for many men with prostate problems. Go to prostatevideo.com.